Morning, everybody. It's 9:20, April 2nd, 2008, and I apologize for the late start today. I have a few things going on. Today, we're joined by our co-chair, Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, Senator Elton, Senator Thomas, and Senator Dyson. We have four bills on the agenda. House Bill 45, State Veteran Cemetery. House Bill 61, Tax Credit for Contributions to VOTEC. House Bill 285, Immunity Tax Exemption, Combat Deaths. And House Bill 330, Noxious Weeds and Invasive Plants. We're going to start off with House Bill 45, State Veteran Cemetery. This is the first hearing in Senate Finance. The intent today is to adopt the CS, hear from the sponsor, take public testimony, and then we'll set this bill aside and give the public an opportunity then to contact us on their thoughts. And Senator Thomas may have a motion to adopt the CS version E, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we accept Senate CS for CS for House Bill 45 / E as a working draft. Is that what we want there? Just to accept it.
We have a motion on version E. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and adopt version E as our just a second. I'll go ahead and object for explanation. We removed sections 1 and 3, which would have created the Alaska Veterans Cemetery Funds. We removed the fund mechanism from the bill. And I'll go ahead and remove my objection to adoption of the CS. Do we have any further objection to adoption of the CS? Seeing none, we will then have adopted that, and we'll start with the presentation from Rep. Guttenberg, the primary sponsor of the bill. Rep. Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, members, for the opportunity to bring this bill before you. The sponsor statement is in front of you, so I won't read it, but I'll just give you a synopsis of the history, how this came to me, and where we're at. A woman came to me who, it turns out, whose husband had died, turned out somebody that I knew for a long time and also had worked with Senator Thomas for many years. Rick had died, and there was no place to bury her where she could, in hallowed ground. Fort Richardson was the closest, then in a national cemetery, then the next one was in Sitka. The state isn't qualified for another national cemetery for a number of reasons. Population, I think, is the biggest one. But the VA does have a program, a state veteran cemetery program, where they fund the construction of the cemetery on ground that the state owns and pay an interment fee, and there's some other funds that they pay for it. And this bill allows us to apply for that grant and go through that process. I don't know where the land would be. I think there might be, at first I thought just Fairbanks was eligible, but I think there might be other communities eligible as well. And with this, we would be able to start that process of finding that out and seeing where our eligibility is, and hopefully have places for veterans who want to be buried close to home on hallowed ground. And that's what House Bill 45 seeks to accomplish.
Okay, do we have any questions for the bill sponsor? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is also possible for the boroughs and other folks to contribute to these boroughs and cities. Is that correct, as far as any potential property or assistance in co-locating it to an existing cemetery is what I've talked with people about too. So
That's
sure.
Correct.
Thank you.
Do we have any other questions for the? We'll go ahead and move to the off net. Ben Cleveland, if you could identify yourself and who you represent and speak to the bill, please.
Yes, sir. My name is Ben O'Cleveland. I'm representing two organizations. Number one, I'm the department commander for the Military Order Purple Arctic here in Alaska. And I'm also the president for the Alaska Native Veterans Association. One of the things is I want to thank Representative Guttenberger for bringing this up on the floor and representing the veterans. We, most of the veterans here in the interior, we have, I noticed that they said that we got about 11,500 veterans in the interior. I think that number is low. Because when we talk about not just the Fairbanks area, but we talk about the villages on the outlying areas, we have many villages that have a lot of veterans. And one of the things is you know, I don't know, you know, if we would have, like the gal that wanted to have a place where she could bury her husband and be at peace, I think that would help a lot of our veterans up here as well, because we have a lot of different cemeteries up here, but the space is filling up and everything. And, you know, veterans, they're the ones that fought for this country. They're the ones that fought for our way of life. You know, and I have an opportunity here, not only because I went and served, but because all the other people that went before me and are still serving today are serving to preserve our rights and our freedoms to do as we choose to do. So I have that ability to talk to you today. You know, we just had a gentleman that passed away not too long ago, Julius David. His ex-wife, she's been the caretaker for this gentleman for 15 years. He just passed away. And she had to take him all the way back down to Fort Richardson to go ahead and put him to rest and get full veterans honors that are all veterans do. One of the things that, like I say, you know, with the Alaska Native Veterans Association and all the other veterans organizations, and even with the military bases here in Fairbanks, when we have a veteran pass away and everything else, sometimes a lot of them veterans don't get that full service. And, you know, that was supposed to be our right, that we would be buried with honors. And unfortunately, sometimes that's not able to happen up here, especially when we have our current forces overseas fighting for our rights right now. So, you know, I'm hoping that the State Finance Committee will take a look at it, think about it, and hopefully we'll go ahead and act on behalf of all the veterans that have served their country, so that when our time does come, we do have a final resting place where we can get full honors. That's about all I have.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
We'll now go to Raymond Clark. Mr. Clark, if you can identify yourself and who you represent, please.
Yes, my name is Raymond Clark. I'm past department commander for the Military Order of the Purple Heart Combat Wounded Veterans. And I thank you this morning for giving me the opportunity to speak to all of you. Young men and women put their careers on hold to defend our inalienable freedom, protect all rights, and ensure a future for our families. We gave our youth, our time, our blood, and our lives to have the right to ensure our voices are heard. For this, we have asked very little except to live our lives, raise our families, and enjoy the freedom we all fought to defend. Not many of us now, many of us are retired from our careers and are peacefully waiting for the day we are finally put to rest. It is my wish and those of all veterans to be in a cemetery close to my family, so my wife, my children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren can pay their respects to the sacrifices we have made. This cannot be accomplished if we are hundreds and hundreds of miles away from our home. We understand the geographics of Alaska and only ask that a cemetery be established for the interior in a place central to the transportation hub for our area. I can speak for the current veterans and their families because I know many of them and their families and their wishes. I can speak for the way the many, many veterans that I have helped bury and their wishes. I can speak for my family and my grandchildren and what it means to them. And I can speak for the widows and the orphans left behind by the sacrifices made by those warriors. We ask for only one small resting place, close to home, we can call our own, that will teach our future generations the cost of war and the love of freedom. I again ask that you do support a veteran cemetery in the interior of Alaska, and thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. That concludes our off-net. Let's go into the room here. Maybe we can have the bill sponsor step back for a minute. We'll bring up Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, the alleged liaison. You can identify yourself, please, and then speak to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is McHugh Pierre, legislative liaison for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, and I should be joined online as well by Mr. Jerry Beal, our Veterans Administrator. We certainly support the efforts here in this bill, but I'd like to speak to page 2, line 2 through line 12. That's the driving factor of our fiscal note. And it really starts with subsection C, the department shall. We are very interested in working with the bill sponsor, and we always work with the AVAC and the veterans service organizations that you've heard from. But with this language directing us to accomplish this, we will have a short-term fiscal impact. We clearly do not have the personal resources to make this happen without this fiscal impact. We've exhausted our interns, we've exhausted staff in other divisions, and this is something that we are addressing in the next budget cycle as well to work with Mr. Beal, but we will need a range 16 project assistant temporary for 1 year to address these concerns and comply with this language. I'm available for questions, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Well, the fiscal notes did stick out. There's two fiscal notes, one from the one from the Department of Administration, and then there's one fiscal note from the Department of Military Affairs for the $62,000, the new position that you just mentioned. And the previous fiscal note, I think, was indeterminate. One of the questions we have that we see quite a bit, it seems like every time a department comes forward and has any additional workload at all, they want to hire a new head, and we're in the operating side trying to, you know, slow the growth of the operating account and slow the growth of the swelling ranks. So what you're telling me is there's no way that your department, without adding one full-time position for 1 year, has the ability to deal with the grant and request and deal with this process.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. As we currently stand, when this bill was introduced last session, it was indeterminate because we didn't quite understand how much this would cost us. At that time, had it passed, it would have truly been a zero fiscal note because we had the space available with other people in the department that could have helped get this done. Since then, we've had other bills that have passed that have impacted us. And because of that, we need to look at a temporary position. Now, I don't know if this position needs to continue forthright. That's something that we're addressing right now because the workload on the Veterans Office has expanded. And right now there's only one full-time person and there's one part-time person that works about 30 hours a week, no more. So we are very limited in that office, and it's something that we're addressing with the expansion of the Decoration of Honor and with the possibility of other legislation that's sitting before this body.
Okay. Do we have any other questions for the department? Mr. Elton.
To continue on the theme of the fiscal note, I mean, you talk about other bills that may pass the legislature. Do they have a fiscal note attached to them asking for additional personnel?
No, sir.
So do you anticipate that this additional person would be doing work that may be attached to the future legislation?
Through the chair, Senator Alton, no, sir, this person will not. This person will strictly be dealing with the Veterans Cemetery and the opportunities that we have presented before us in this bill.
So if I could continue, so you anticipate that you will be changing fiscal notes for the other bills that are outstanding?
Through the chair, Senator Alton, the other bills that are outstanding have zero fiscal notes required by the personnel in that fiscal note. There might be some small operating cost, for instance, if we need to buy paper for a certificate or postage following along that. Otherwise, there is zero fiscal note for position impact on the department.
Mr. Chair, if you'll allow me a follow-up question. I guess I'm intrigued. I mean, what I'm hearing is there are other bills that have passed that didn't have a fiscal note. There are other bills to come that didn't have a fiscal note. And yet you talk about the cumulative impact. Why is that cumulative impact attached only to this bill?
Through the chair, Senator Elton, we've exhausted all of our resources, and this bill happens to be the bill that is beyond our tipping point.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Senator Huggins.
Well, this may not be appropriate for Mr. Pierre, but there's two functional questions we have to answer when it comes to veteran cemeteries. Where are we going to build one, and when we're going to build one? And I think those two questions have to be asked of our state. It's important. I'm behind veteran cemeteries. I realize that we have two national cemeteries, one of which is in Sitka, which is reaching its limits and probably can't be expanded. The National Cemetery at Fort Richardson has a long life and can be expanded, and I know that with some of the present interment procedures, probably longer than most of us will live. But the question is, where are we going to build the next cemetery or state cemetery, and when we're going to do it? And I think we have to answer those questions before we start potentially through some of the process we're in. And I just share that my good friend Lyman Hoffman in Bethel, his community, did something on their own to take care of veterans. And I'm not saying every community can do that, but I say congratulations to Bethel for what they did for their veterans.
Okay, seeing no other questions for the department, we'll have the bill sponsor come forward. Before you do your wrap-up comments, or Rep. Guttenberg, when we set this bill aside, could you, in that process, then, could you contact the Sitka National Cemetery and get an idea of the expected expansion of that cemetery in Sitka? And as Senator Huggins expressed, I don't know how short of time horizon it has, but there's definitely some land constraints on it, and it's getting squeezed. It's also the oldest national cemetery west of the Mississippi River, which a lot of folks don't realize how old that cemetery is. So anyway, if you could just contact them, they'll give you the scoop. Because off the top of my head, I don't remember, but I know it's not very long. Do we have any final questions for the bill sponsor? Do you have any closing comments?
No, I just like to thank you for hearing this. The comments I get from people in the community, the vet community, and others is they're looking forward to this. Is maybe the not appropriate term, but people are looking for the opportunity to be buried on hollow ground. I saw what the Bethel community did for their vets, and they're very honorable. In my own situation, I'm not a vet. My father is, and I've lived through a lot of the stories that he had. I don't know where he has an intention of what his intentions are after the fact, but there are a lot of people waiting for something like this. Every year that goes by, more people lose that opportunity.
Okay.
And I think it's a few years out before this process churns all the way through.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
With that, we'll go ahead and set this bill aside. Next bill we're going to take up on the agenda today is House Bill 61, Tax Credit for Contributions for VOTEC Ed. This is the second hearing on this bill at Senate Finance. And at the last hearing, we adopted Amendment Number 1. We have had that included in Version M, reflecting this change. So I don't think there's a need to adopt version M, because we've already adopted the amendment, and that was the only change. And the intent here today is to hear from the sponsors. The sponsor's representative can come forward and take additional public testimony if there is any or comments, and then ask the will of the committee. So if you could please identify yourself for the record, who you represent, and then walk us through the CS, please.
My name is Rex Shattuck, staff to Representative Mark Newman, House District 15. Mr. Chair, as you had pointed out, the M version actually incorporates the changes that were brought forward in the last meeting. And those changes were to do some conforming and cleaning up. It was identified that One of the sections had, in the drafting process, language inserted that that was not previously there. That was in section 43-2014, income tax education credits. If you were to look at version M on page 2, you would see in line 6, there is language that says the lesser of, in line 7, an amount equal to, and in line 10, 50% of the taxpayer's liability under this title. Under the section that you're looking at, which covers insurance tax, that language was there before we started this. It was not in section 43-2014 income tax or any of the other sections. So basically what we did was went back and removed that because it was never the intent of the sponsor to have that in that section. The others were basically cleanup language. And renumbering because of those changes. It's worth noting, if I might at this time, Mr. Chair, that when the draft of M came back, there were two drafting errors that basically on page 5 of the M version, you'll see in line 9 or line 10 that they put AS 34-2014E. It should read AS 43. Likewise, on page 6 of that M version, you'll see they did a similar thing on line 29, AS 42. It should be AS 43. Again, those are the standard reference in their drafting. Somebody wasn't quick to catch those errors.
Okay, so on page 6, line 29, should be AS 4320?
Yes, sir.
And then on line, or page 5, line 10, it should read AS 43?
Yes, sir.
And I'll go ahead and make those amendments, conceptual amendments, so we clean up the drafting typos. And we have any objection to that? Okay. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and clean that up. Do we have any questions for the bill sponsor? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the bill repeals and reenacts, has it had any impact on the existing 2- and 4-year schools? Has it changed anything regarding them? It just is put in language that that allows vocational schools to be considered basically in the same level of taxation or crediting.
Through the chair, Representative Senator Thomas, no, this makes no changes to what current statutes are. It just extends currently what is available in post-secondary to secondary programs.
Okay, thank you.
We have any other questions? We have no call-ins. We have one department person online for questions. Anybody from the audience want to come forward and speak on this bill? Come back. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wished I'd have thought of this. I mean, quite frankly, if there's anything in our education system we're delinquent on, it's vocational education training. And this is a very innovative way to get at it and potentially make a difference in kind of outside the system, for lack of a better term. So in any event, I congratulate the sponsor on the work they did on this.
Thanks, Senator Huggins.
Senator Elton.
I just want to take this opportunity to brag on my community again. I did it the first time I heard the bill, but our high school home building program over the last several years has won the national championship 3 times. And provision like this in our statutes may allow the local business community to contribute even more to the program and hopefully will win even more often. So thanks to the sponsor.
Thank you. Any final questions or comments? May we have the will of the committee, please?
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for House Bill 61 as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
And we have a motion to move the bill from committee as amended with individual comments and attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection? Seeing no objection, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee. Send it on to the next committee or referral. We will now take up the next bill, House Bill 285, Muni Tax Exemptions Combat Deaths. This is the first hearing in Senate Finance on this bill, but we did hear a companion bill, Senate Bill 204, earlier in the session. The intent today is to hear from the sponsor, take public testimony, and then set this bill aside, allowing the public time to digest and make any comments to us. With that, we have the representative from the bill sponsor, and if she can identify herself, who she represents, and walk us through the bill.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Karen Lidster, and I am staff to Representative John Coghill. And the bill before you does request an exemption for a municipality or city to be able to partially or wholly exempt from taxation real property that is owned or occupied by a widow or widower of a member of the Armed Forces of the United States that was injured while serving on active duty, who is eligible for hostile fire or imminent danger pay. This request came to Representative Coghill by the mayor of the Fairbanks North Star Borough and is going to be able to really provide the municipalities the option of whether or not they would choose to make an ordinance to allow this exemption and set out the parameters of qualifying for that and the eligibility. I'm here to answer any questions that you may have and appreciate your consideration of this legislation.
Okay. We have zero fiscal note from DCCED. We have one person on off-net, Jennifer Uhas. If she can identify herself and who she represents and speak to the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jennifer Uhas, and I am the Special Assistant to the Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor Jim Whitaker. And the borough would like to thank Representative Coghill for his sponsorship of this legislation. Our community is proud of our military families, and our mayor requested this legislation in an effort to more fully recognize the contributions of our servicemen and women. While we currently offer this exemption to our disabled veterans, we have no way to honor those who've given all, and we wholeheartedly support passage of this legislation. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Do we have anybody that concludes our off-net? We have one person from the department standing by for questions. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to come forward and speak to this bill? Seeing none, do we have any? Senator Olson.
Thank you. I mean, maybe this is to the sponsor of the bill. How many people do we plan on that are affected by this legislation?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I do not have an answer to that. When the state assessor came online in testimony at other times, he may have that answer, and I think that he is online.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Van Zandt, if you could please identify yourself and who you represent and then answer the question, please.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Steve Van Zandt. I'm the State Assessor with the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. Through the chair, we don't have a solid estimate on that. However, based on what we do know, we don't estimate that the number is going to be real large at this time.
Okay, thank you. I think I recall that was your comments last time. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, just for committee members and others, to me the important part of this, it allows the municipalities the option. It's their prerogative of what they do with this, but it does permit them the options. And I think that's the important operative term, and I'll be supportive of this.
We have any final questions for the bill sponsor? Do we have anybody in the audience that would like to come forward and speak? Seeing none, we're going to go ahead and set this bill aside and go on to our next bill and final bill of the day. House Bill 330, Noxious Weeds, Invasive Plants. We've heard this bill for the first time on Monday. The intent today is to adopt the CS, take additional testimony and possibly from the public if there's interest. We held a bill to address concerns from Senator Elton, and that was resolved in the proposed CS. And Senator Elton may have a motion to adopt the CS, version N.
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee adopt Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 330, Finance, version / N.
Okay, we have a motion to adopt version N. Do we have objection to adoption of version N? Seeing none, version N is adopted. And just for a brief note, version N added on page 2, line 26 and 27, the Department of Fish and Game was added to help with some of the marine issues that we may be facing. And we have a representative from Rep. Johnson's office. If you could please identify yourself and who you represent and speak to the bill.
Yes, my name is Deborah Higgins. I'm from Representative Johnson's office. He had to go on the floor. I can answer any questions, and I believe Francie Havemeister is online to speak to the fiscal note if necessary. I'm sorry.
Morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I apologize for my tardiness. Where were we? Have you started?
Yes, they've adopted the...
Okay. With that, Mr. Chairman, I guess we're available for questions or about the bill.
We have 3-0 fiscal notes, one from the Department of Environment Conservation, one from the Department of Fish and Game, one from the Department of Transportation. There's one fiscal note from the Department of Natural Resources for $80,000 to hire new research analysts to serve as a statewide coordinator.
Yes.
We'll go to the off-net. We have one person on the off-net. Bryce Wrigley, if you can identify yourself and who you represent and speak to the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bryce Wrigley. I represent the Alaska Farm Bureau. As I kind of mentioned at the last testimony, as farmers were obviously concerned about the effect of invasive weeds on our industry. We've already heard the testimony about the cost of dealing with those weeds in R 48. One species, especially in Montana alone, costs millions of dollars for that state. And I understand this has now been found in Dawson City, just across our border. Recently read where California basically turns back on 13 million acres where arsenic has become so prevalent that it was considered to be no longer feasible to try and control. And Alaska, as I mentioned before, we have an opportunity that no other state in the union will ever have. Our isolation has bought us time to learn about these weeds, how they're spread, what control measures are effective. But that isolation has ended now. It will never be cheaper to control and eradicate these weeds than it is right now. This bill puts those components in place to fight for federal weed management dollars. In the absence of direct funding from the state, this appears to be the most likely way to obtain weed management funding. It also brings state departments to the table to coordinate efforts. Most of the invasive weed vectors are on public lands or along the right-of-ways and roads. Almost all of the work that has been done so far has been done by the Farm Bureau and more recently by Soil and Water Conservation District. That the key to it is timely aggressive treatment. As an example of the success of this approach, Canada thistle was identified in Delta several years ago, and about 10 years ago we were successful in eradicating it. The key was early identification and quick response, but even then it took 18 years to accomplish that. Last time this bill was heard, there was a lot of discussion to include marine animals in the bill. And while we're all concerned about all invasive species, I would recommend and ask that this legislation not be delayed. You've allowed a seat on the committee for fish and game, so they will be represented there. But given the vast amount of knowledge about how to deal with these threats, I really think that it'd be a tragedy to not pass this legislation on at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. That concludes our off-net Is there anybody in the audience like to come forward and speak to this bill? Seeing none, we have any final questions from the committee members? Any wrap-up comments from the bill sponsor?
Mr. Chairman, I think I appreciate it. I think I appreciate your hearing the bill. I think this is an opportunity for us to get ahead of the curve, and I appreciate your consideration. And with that, I will leave it with you.
Senator Hoffman, the will of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out Senate CS for House Bill 380 with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations. Do we have any objection? Seeing none, we'll move the bill from committee to the next committee referral. Unless members have any other comments, that concludes today's agenda items. Our next meeting is tomorrow at 9 a.m. We will be posting the schedule later. We'll be on the 24-hour rule, and we'll hopefully have had our labor wound down on the capital budget, and we'll start turning our attention to some of the bills. With that, we'll see you at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Meeting adjourned.